All right, our scripture this morning you'll find printed there in the bulletin. We're continuing to look at the life of Joseph, and we're reading today Genesis 42, verses 29 through 38. This is God's holy word. When they came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them, saying, "The man, the Lord of the land, spoke harshly with us and took us for spies of the country. But we said to him, 'We are honest men, we are not spies. We are 12 brothers, sons of our father. One is no longer alive, and the youngest is with our father today in the land of Canaan.' The man, the Lord of the land, said to us, 'By this I will know that you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers with me, and take grain for the famine of your households, and go. But bring your youngest brother to me, that I may know that you are not spies, but honest men. I will give your brother to you, and you may trade in the land.' Now it came about, as they were emptying their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when they and their father saw their bundles of money, they were dismayed. Their father Jacob said to them, 'You have bereaved me of my children. Joseph is no more, and Simeon is no more, and you would take Benjamin. All these things are against me.' Then Reuben spoke to his father, saying, 'You may put my two sons to death if I do not bring him back to you. Put him in my care, and I will return him to you.' But Jacob said, 'My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he alone is left. If harm should befall him on the journey you are taking, then you will bring my gray hair down to Sheol in sorrow.'" Thus far, God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. Thanks be to God. Now here's Jacob down in verse 36 saying, "All these things are against me." And I'm reminded of a verse in Romans chapter 8 where we read, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" And in fact, in the story of Joseph and in the stories of these other men, God is for them. God is working things out. It doesn't always seem that way. But God is for them. And all of us today who really look to the Lord in faith, we can be confident of that same thing. If God is for us, then all these things, though they may seem to be against us, well, they're going to fail. Now we're going to look away briefly from Joseph today. Now this is the life of Joseph, but there's some other participants here. Now we're going to look away from Joseph today that we might consider the perplexity, the confusion, the uncertainty of Jacob. That's not to say that the other brothers were not somewhat confused also, but Jacob, we find especially, not quite sure what's going on, what really to believe, what really to take hold of. And he needs to hear that word, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Jacob felt that the world was crashing down on him. Do you ever feel like that? Everything's just crashing down. Everything's just out to get me, out to take my life and turn it upside down. All these things are against me. I felt like that, and you probably have too. Now here's Jacob, the old deceiver. Remember, that was kind of his nickname. He was called the deceiver, the supplanter. And he was. He was quite a liar and a deceiver in his day. Well, he's having a hard time telling the truth from fiction. You know, the more untruth and the more deception we build into our lives, the harder it is for us, even later in life, to tell truth from fiction. His sons, as he looked around, were being taken from him one by one. First there was Joseph, and now Simeon, and now they have designs on Benjamin. And you can understand why he would scratch his head, hang his head, shake his head. All these things are against me. And he concludes the passage that we read today by saying, I think I'll just go down to my grave, go down to Sheol, and do so in sorrow. I would just maybe like to leave it all. Well, there's some very important things for us to learn as we look at this today. We're going to see that life can be a puzzle, but it's not a puzzle to God. It's just a puzzle to us. And we have to trust Him to put all the pieces in the right place. We're going to see that God will test our love for Him. That's a very common characteristic of the Lord with respect to our lives. He puts our love to the test. Our God will see us through. Now, there's a wonderful corollary to go with God is for us. God will see us through. Amazingly, God shows kindness to us. And who are we? We're sinners. Amazingly, God shows kindness to sinners. Finally, God's offer of deliverance is no rash act of bravado. God's offer of deliverance is carefully planned and perfectly executed. God does not need to show any bravado. God does not need to puff Himself up to impress us. But God loves us, and His salvation is something He has wanted even from before the foundation of the world. Well, life can be a puzzle. And the brothers come back from their trip to Egypt with a story, a very interesting story, an exciting story. If there were fiction writers in that day, and maybe there were, I don't know, but if there were fiction writers, they might have seized upon this. This is a great story. These brothers go down to Egypt and they meet the man, the Lord of the land. And he harshly rebukes them and he accuses them of being spies. And at first he throws them all in jail, and then he keeps one brother and sends the rest home. And they come home and they have their money in their sacks. What a story. This would have sold a lot of books. It would have been on the New York Times bestseller list. The Amazon would have been overwhelmed with orders for this story. It's the kind of story where you say, what's happening? What's going on? I knew a man some years ago who had two sons, and they were in the car with him and driving on icy roads, and the car began to spin. And one of the boys piped up, "Father, what are you doing?" Well, I'm sure Jacob and these other of his children also said, "What is going on? What is going on? This is a crazy life that we're living." Their crazy treatment as they went down to Egypt really made no sense. They just wanted to go down, fork over the money, get the grain, and come home. And yet it turned out to be this amazing adventure, and it wasn't over yet. They were confronted by someone. I don't like confrontation. Maybe you do. Maybe you enjoy that. I don't like confrontation. But here they were. "You are spies." They were confronted. "Oh, we're not spies. We're honest men." Now, you remember the last time we studied here about the honest men? They weren't honest men. Now, they may not have been spies, but they were very dishonest men. They were terrific sinners, if you will. They found themselves accused, as we said, and whenever an accusation is laid against you, you resist it, of course, but then you wonder if you really are honest, if there really is not something wrong within you or about you. They were accused. I know that all of us who are believers as well as unbelievers, are often accused by the accuser. Because Satan is called what? The accuser of the brethren. Accusations really turn our lives crazy. Some of these things that we've been seeing in the news about this man and that man and all the accusations, and some true and some not true, I'm sure just the accusation has just torn them up inside. And they rightly concluded something eventually. You recall from last time that they kind of put their heads together and they said, you know, we never should have done to Joseph what we did. We're being now punished for what we did. And they were exactly right in the sense that their sin had found them out, as the Bible says. Sin will find you out eventually. But it's good. It's good that they rightly concluded that they had sinned, that they weren't honest men, that they were murderers. And again, that left them unsure of what to do, how to proceed. And so we find them kind of caught in this puzzle. Life is a puzzle. But not to God, as we said. God has all the pieces. Some pieces He puts in right away. If you've done puzzles, you know, always look for that straight edge and you get the right thing. But it's hard just to lay the middle pieces down because you don't quite know where they go. And maybe you can get a piece of the sky or a piece of the forest or something there. But you don't quite know where the pieces go. But God knows exactly where they go. He knows where He wants them. And He puts them in His own way, in His own time. And the sooner we realize that, the easier it's going to be to deal with the puzzles of our life. Lord, I'm confused. It just seems like everything is against me. But I'm so thankful that life, my life, is not a puzzle to You. The brother's story kind of defied reality. It was like a fiction writer, or the work of a fiction writer. Well, let's move on to see that God will test our love for Him. Now, this had happened in the family of Jacob, but he probably had to get the story from his father, Isaac, how that God had told his grandfather, Abraham, to take Isaac, his only son Isaac, to take him over there to Mount Moriah and to sacrifice him. Now, we're told in Scripture that God put Abraham's love for Him, his commitment to Him, to the test. And we've had other studies in which we've made the same point. God will put our love to Him to the test, not just to play with us or to make us feel bad, but to strengthen us. There's an old saying that such and such will test the rule or prove the rule. What is the commitment of our love to Him? Well, God will bring that forth, not because He doesn't know it already, but for our sakes, for our benefit. And here's another situation. Could Jacob see that God was putting him to the test in apparently taking Joseph and now Simeon and possibly Benjamin? He was being put to the test very much like Abraham having to take Isaac to the mountain. Now, God did not let Isaac perish, and God was not going to let these others perish. But even if He had allowed them to perish, they all fit into God's plan. It's part also of the way that He tests us. And for Jacob's sake, God says, are you willing to part with Joseph and Simeon and now Benjamin? Are you willing to do that if that fits My plan? Sometimes these tests are hard that God puts us to. Now, in fact, Jacob always seemed more willing to take from God than to give up things for God. Did you ever think about that? When Jacob first left home, he went to Bethel and he slept on a rock and he saw the angels of God ascending and descending. And what was his response? He says, God, this is your lucky day. I'm going to let you be my God. And I'll take everything that you'll give me and I'll be very thankful for it. And that's kind of the story of Jacob's life. He was always willing to take from God. But how much was he willing to give up for God? Jesus said, if a man tries to save his life, he'll lose it. But if he'll lay down his life for my sake in the Gospels, he'll find it. God will test our love for him. But however much he may test us and ask of us, never doubt that he's given much more than we could even ask or think, and especially when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God always gives more, so much more, so much as to say, I will see you through. Because what Jesus did, what I have accomplished through him, will always be enough to see you through, which is our third point. As the Egypt crisis unfolded, and you see it had been a crisis down there, but now it comes back up to Canaan, and the boys have to bring it with them when they come. As it unfolded, the Egypt crisis, Jacob still had to deal with lots more than just that, because what was going on all around him? There was famine. People were dying, literally. People were dying in that land of Canaan of starvation. Or maybe of related things, like if you don't have nourishment, then your immune system goes down, you get sick of other things. But this was a land of death. Canaan was a land of death. And of course, the boys went down to bring back some relief, to bring back some food, so that death would not come to this family. And in spite of Jacob's need to learn to give as well as to take from the Lord, God says, I made a promise to Abraham, I made a promise to Isaac, I've made that promise to you, Jacob. I will see you through. And through you, there's going to be great blessing to the world that's dying. Not just a famine, of course, but dying because they have no relationship with God, because they have no peace with God. But through you, the nations will be blessed. And God says, if you're on my side, and I'm on your side, if I'm for you, then I will see you through. God will see us through. I'll see you through the famine. I'll see you through the crisis with the man, the Lord of Egypt. I'll see you through. Now, for us to look in the Bible, we can say, oh yeah, I can see now God's doing this and God's doing that. But Jacob had no view like we have. He doesn't see the end from the beginning like we can see it. But he could say, if God would give him the grace, and I think eventually God would, I'll see you through. God will be with us. God will take care of us. There's another verse there in Romans 8. Romans 8 and this passage go together quite well. It says, all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. You know, how am I going to get through this? Have you ever come up to that place in your life? How in the world am I going to get through this? And you have to say, well, I don't know, but God will see us through, because he works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So life can be a puzzle, and while we're trying to deal with that puzzle, God will put our love for him to the test, are really committed to him. And then this wonderful truth, God will see us through. And I want to point out this to you also, that God never says, I'll never let anything bad happen to you. What he says was, when it does happen to you, I will see you through. Okay? So you don't say, God, why did you let this happen? You say, God, I know as a human being and a sinner that there are going to be rough times. but I'm trusting you to see me through. Okay, our next point is simply that God does amazingly show kindness to sinners. And you kind of see this especially in this matter of the money that was found in the bags. And I think sometimes we get the idea that they pulled open their bags and they said, "Shazam, my money is here. How wonderful." Now, the first thing they thought was, "Uh-oh, we're in trouble." It says they were dismayed. We're in trouble. How in the world are we going to go back again to get our brother? How are we going to go back to get food when we, according to the books, according to the accounts, we didn't pay for anything that we took away? And they're going to say, not only you're spies, but you're thieves as well. And I think Jacob was especially affected by the idea that these sons of his were thieves. I don't think it was that big a surprise, the idea, because they weren't honest men. All this protestation, "We are honest men," is not true. And Jacob knew it wasn't true. They were not honest men. He had them out there with his flocks and herds, and they were running around and doing things, and Joseph had brought a bad report about them. And now, if indeed they have money in their sacks, and they say to their father, "Oh, I don't know how it got there." What do you think Jacob's going to say? "You boys of Dothan, you boys that run around, you boys of the bad reports, you're telling me that money is there in some magical way?" No. One thing you can say, and we know how the money got there, and we know they didn't steal it, but one thing you can say is that all these boys, and I have to include Joseph here, we may love Joseph, but you have to include Joseph here, all these boys are sinners. Some more obviously than others, obviously. But they're sinners. And yet, amazingly, God doesn't say, "One by one, I'm going to pick them off till they're all dead." He says, "I'll see you through. I'll provide for you. Jacob, quit moaning and groaning. Quit saying my gray head is going to go down to Sheol in sorrow." God says, "That's not faith, Jacob. And the only way you and your family are going to be saved is through faith." Now, like as we said, any godly father, Jacob is distraught over what he finds. There may be evil there. But what can you do? You can cast yourself on the mercy of God. Say, "Lord, we're sinners. Maybe we didn't take the money like it looks like, but there have been plenty of other times when we took things that weren't ours, when we were sinful men." God amazingly, however, shows kindness to sinners. And Jesus didn't come into the world to save all the good folks. He came into the world to save sinners. And He says, "Whoever comes to Me as a sinner, I'll never cast them out. I'll never say, 'You're not good enough.' In fact," He says, "you're just the kind of person I want to come to Me. Come. Come and be forgiven. Come and turn from your sins. Now I'll say to you," Jesus says, "go and sin no more. I'm not going to give you a pass on that. But I want to tell you right now that I have kindness for sinners, an amazing kindness." All right, one last thing. And that is that God's offer of deliverance is not any rash act. Jacob's fear of losing Benjamin could never be assuaged by any sort of payment that could be offered to him. And of all the crazy things that are said, here's Reuben saying, "If I don't bring Benjamin back, I'll let you kill my two sons." Does that make any sense at all? If I don't bring Simeon and Benjamin back, you can kill your grandchildren. Just doesn't make any sense at all. And yet, that on Reuben's part was an act of bravado. He's saying, I'll take care of it. It's like Simon Peter saying, Lord, I'll never deny you. You can count on me. I've written here in my notes, finally Jacob receives an offer he can easily refuse. You know the old, to make him an offer he can't refuse. Well, this is an offer that Jacob can freely refuse and say, that's no comfort to me, Reuben. But the fact is that God doesn't show any bravado in saying, I will save you. You can count on me to see you through, to feed you, to make you a blessing, to make your family great. There's no bravado in that because that's God's plan. That's what God had put forth. God doesn't say, if I don't do it, you can do this or that or the other thing. It's silly. God says, I will do it. And as the Sunday school song says, faith is just believing what God says He will do. Jacob, at this point, is sort of a broken man. But you know what the Bible says? It says when we're broken, that God says, I won't snuff you out like a smoldering flax. I won't snuff you out, but I'll reach down and pick you up. And that's really what Jacob needs at this point. Now we're going to go on to see how Jacob finally gives in. He says, we're all going to die if we don't get that grain, so take Benjamin, and what happens, happens. But I just want you to see this as we close, that when God makes a promise, it's not bravado, it's not being puffed up, it's not trying to impress you, it's God saying, I am steady, I am knowledgeable, I am in control, you can trust me. And I just ask you this morning, are you trusting the Lord? Are you trusting Him? Are you trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, who says He'll never turn you away? Are you trusting Him who says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, and I'll walk you, whatever terrible thing may happen, I'll walk you through it. And you'll come out on the other side better than when you went in. Just keep trusting me. That's what God wants you to take and understand. Don't go down to your grave in sorrow today. Go down confident that He'll take you through everything, even through death, and give you everlasting life. Let's pray. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we're so much like Jacob. We're puzzled. We can hardly bear the test. And yet, Lord, You've said You'll see us through. But we're sinners, and You've said, no, I'm going to show kindness to sinners. Lord, Your offer is never one to be refused. It's the only offer that's worth having, and it's an offer worth accepting. Help us to do that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.